Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday. We had a fantastic time over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph as it was Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And if you've been listening, you know that Tuesday we now have the My Two Cents segment, and that's the film and TV review. And we've been reviewing Kingdom Business, the BET Plus series, starring Yolanda Adams. And yesterday, we reviewed episode 3, Let It Burn. And, some stuff came out yesterday from that particular episode. Well, we talked about, you know, the scene where the son is with the girlfriend who is mentioning intimacy, sex. You know, she's dressed all hot and, you know, sexy. And, you know, he tells her, hey, you know, I've given this life up. You know, I used to chase the women and, you know, the Lord has changed my life. And then when you looked around, it was just hot and heavy. And we talked about the fact that, you know, do you set yourself up for failure? Yes. When a temptation is out there and you know you have no business in that arena, what do? Do you now position yourself to, you know, fail? Or do you take the hint that God does not want you in that arena and kind of fly out of there? Yes. Listen. Let's talk about this thing here this morning real quickly. We don't have to pretend, you know, and look like we can when we really can't. Now, who are we trying to impress? Run. Get out from the midst of that temptation you ain't got no business being in. You know, when God gives you a way out, take it. Yeah, mama came banging on the door and interrupted what was going on. And, you know, I always say that's an interruption to just get you to stop doing what you're doing. So, you know, it was said that back in the day when I was getting it on hot and heavy and there was an interruption, there was no way you were going to stop what I already had set up in my mind that I wanted to do. So I hope that's not you. because that was in someone's former life. So we're not talking about, you know, doing that now. We're talking about, you know, if we do have an opportunity to get away, then we take that way out. We do not mess around with that thing. No, be smart. Be smart. Be smart. Be smart. Well, what else did we talk about? Oh, we talked about dad praying over his daughter, who is clearly in distress over some personal things that are going on in her life and in her relationship. And him praying over her as her dad, as her bishop, you know, her spiritual covering. You know, is that covering effective when your life is being lived in an unrepentant manner? Now, yes, you know, you might say, how do we know that he's unrepentant? Well, listen, let's just be frank here. You've been sleeping around with this young lady, you know, prior to her being murdered, and we don't know who else you may have been, but even if we just kind of leave it there, you know, okay, so you may have been repentant about that. But are you really repenting now that you're doing all of this behind-the-scenes stuff, like trying to get somebody to go in her locker to get what you think might be evidence against you? No. Other little things that they're showing us that he's doing, you know, behind the scenes. You can't be repentant about the beginning stages of something and then you're going to follow it up with some other sinful behavior. That's not repentant. No. Come on. So, you know, the conversation came up whether, you know, your prayers could possibly be hindered by your lifestyle or the things that you've done or the things that you're doing. You know, and the Bible speaks of that. You know, this ain't some stuff we make it up that we don't know. Because we did say God can use anybody at any time. Yes, we know that because God may have used you during a time when you were doing some things and life wasn't quite right. You know, listen, God has used me. You know, I'm not, you know, I wasn't living all sinfully, but I'm sure that there were some things that I could have cleaned up at the time. But, you know, we know that God can use all of us and anybody. He's used people who were living in sin. We can't tell him who to use. However, that needs to be something in the forefront of our minds, you know, especially when the bishop, you know, and, you know, your people need to be covered, maybe even your family. And can you really cover your family? So, you know, if God chooses to say no, that, you know, those prayers are being hindered for whatever the reason is, we can't get mad. We can't get mad. And, you know, the truth of the matter is when you go before the Lord in prayer, you know, it behooves you to really think about the things that you've done, because that's the time, you know, that it really may matter. Yeah, it always matters. You know what I'm saying. Don't be twisting my words around. It always matters. But you get what I'm saying. Again, we're about to go before the Lord and petition, you know, for something that's really serious. And are we running the risk that God just might not answer that prayer? It's something you need to think about because it is biblical, you know? You don't want to run that risk. Listen, I don't know about you, but Stephanie definitely doesn't. You know, I got 3 girls and a grandchild that I pray for. I got 2 aunties and a father, and I got a whole church congregation and, you know, people that I'm praying for and neighbors and all that kind of stuff. I don't need to have something hanging, excuse me, over my head. I don't. And I do think about those things. So, you know, come on, come on, come on. You know, if there was no other time you thought about this thing,
Let's think about this now. You know, so that's why it's important that, you know, it's been said, oh, this show is trash, and I just can't watch it, and I don't look at things like this, and I get it. However, this is vital to the body of Christ. You know, we got to step out of what we would like to look at. If this is not something that we would normally look at. Because, unfortunately, all of this craziness that we are looking at on this show is real. Yeah. You know, it's a hard look, I got to tell you. It's a hard look. And if we're not looking at this stuff and it's not calling attention to our own life, now, I'm not nobody on, I'm not someone who's ever been on a pole. You know, I've never been a record company executive or a gospel singer or a bishop. However, you know, the lifestyle, the things that they're doing, you know, the weak areas, this stuff is being pointed out to us so we can look at, you know, look at ourselves in the mirror and really say, God, I'm sorry for what I'm doing. It doesn't have to be the exact same thing. But conceptually, are you doing these things? So we got some work to do in our life. And we need to make sure that this is not us. Okay? All righty. Well. Today is Wow Wednesday. And you know how we do it over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. It's Ladies Day. So get ready. Go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere because you'll be right back.
Juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, or really what we call juvenile inflammatory arthritis now, or idiopathic inflammatory arthritis, can be several different conditions. There's actually three major conditions that we see in that age group. And basically, they're swollen joints, stiff joints, redness or inflammation around joints. If a kid has something like that and it persists for more than a few days, then that's something that really ought to be checked out. There's excellent treatments available, and they can prevent long-term problems.
Well, good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back, or welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Wow Wednesday. You know how we do it over here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Wow Wednesday is not hump day. You know, that's just a thought of, how am I getting through this day? I got to make it to the other side of the weekend. Nah. We're rejoicing in the Lord that God has brought us safely to the middle of the week. And we have a lot of things to really give God thanks for. He's been so good to us, better to us than we've been to ourselves. So
you know, the ladies are here today to really inspire and encourage us. And we always get our Wednesday started with our girlfriend, Vivian. So let's say good morning to Vivian and our socially conscious segment. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well. Thank you, Vivian. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Good, good. Oh, what you got for us today?
All right, today on Socially Conscious, let's take a real quick look at these COVID numbers. Going to change it up this week and make a long story short. Top five states are the exact same as last week in the exact same order. Quick refresher, that's California, Texas, Florida, Illinois, and New York City. And everybody saw some slight decreases except for Illinois, who saw an increase of over 3,000 cases since last week. So nothing new to see here. People just really seem to love these states, so much so that they can't seem to catch a break. They've been in the same exact order with these same exact states for the past couple of weeks now. So nothing really new to see. Now we have an update on a topic discussed here on Socially Conscious quite a few times, and that is the water beads challenge. This thing has gotten so bad that the New York City Police Department has now issued a warning that owning a water bead blaster is now a violation of the law. The notice states anyone caught with one of these, quote, air rifles, end quote, will be issued a AC summons, and the weapon will be vouchered as a arrest evidence. And with that, we have an 18-year-old who was just shot by an off-duty correction officer for what may have involved one of these air rifles. Reports say that officers responded to a call about shots in the Grand Concourse area in the Bronx. They arrived there and found 18-year-old Raymond Kalfink unconscious with a gunshot wound to his face. He was taken to St. Barnabas Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. The corrections officer, Dion Middleton, who is 45, was arrested on charges of murder, manslaughter, and criminal possession of a weapon in connection with the shooting. Police said investigators are trying to find out if the water bead gun found in the young man's car had anything to do with the shooting. So this could have possibly cost this young man his life for playing with one of these guns. And just so we all are aware, even though they are accessible, these guns are illegal to have in New York City. Next, we have a listener-submitted story that is quite interesting. I remember we told the story here before of a man who was accused of molesting children at a daycare that he was listed as the owner of. This time, we have a woman whose social media is asking for her to be released after she shot her own husband. So she's 50 years old. Her name is Santeria Weems. She is the owner of Kids Castle Club Development Center. She reportedly told police she shot her husband after hearing allegations he had molested children at a daycare center that she owns. The shooting happened at a hotel. When police officers forced their way into the room, they found two guns and the husband shot with a non-life-threatening injury. Santeria Weems was charged with assault with intent to kill, assault with a dangerous weapon, possession of a firearm without a license, and possession of an unregistered firearm. She claimed she reported the alleged molestation to authorities, but for some reason, her husband has yet to be charged for any crimes. So she decided to take matters into her own hands. She brought him to this hotel and she shot him. So what do y'all think? Do y'all think she should be let go or should she serve some time? And now we have another listener-submitted story. So last I checked, this was the year 2022, right? You think overt racism would be a thing of the past, especially with those who hold some type of power and authority, but unfortunately not. Reports say an entire police department resigns after a new town manager is hired who just so happened to be a black woman. They're saying a mass resignation took place on July 22nd, 2022, 1 month after Justine Jones was hired in the town of Kenley, North Carolina. The former employee citing things as a stressful or hostile work environment and an inability to continue the department's long-term betterment projects. Those were some of the reasons that some of these people put when they resigned. The police chief himself, whose name is Josh Gibson, wrote a letter announcing his departure and expressed the workplace was a hostile environment. He wrote, "In my 21 years at the Kenley Police Department, we have seen ups and downs, but especially in the last 3 years, we have made substantial progress that we had hoped to continue. However, due to the hostile work environment now present in the town of Kenley, I do not believe progress is possible." This is crazy. All she did was get a town manager position. She ain't go for president. She ain't win presidency. And everybody's that mad that the whole police department quit. What's that really going to do anyway? But I just thought that that was a very interesting article. And other news and lighter news, the Jackie Robinson Museum is now open. After 14 years of preparation, the Jackie Robinson Museum has officially opened on Tuesday in Manhattan. They had a gala ceremony, which was attended by his widow, his wife, and two children, Rachel Robinson, who turned 100 years old on July 19th. Watched the half-hour outdoor celebration from a wheelchair. Then she cut the ribbon to cap a project launched in 2008. The original projection had a 2010 opening and $25 million cost, but they're saying that the recession caused some delays, the pandemic caused some delays, and finally, Tuesday, they were able to officially open up this museum in the presence of his wife and his two children, who are also very elderly. So we're just thanking God that they were able to witness this great occurrence before they left this earth. If you're interested in visiting the Jackie Robinson Museum, tickets will cost $18 for adults and $15 for students and seniors and children. The second floor includes an education center, part of a plan envisioned by Rachel Robinson. And again, we're just thanking God that they were able to witness this event before they passed on. Excuse me. And now we have our wow story of the week, which is a familiar topic and also a listener submitted story. The topic is the lack of respect for the church. Reports say that out in Brooklyn, thieves barged into a church in the middle of the preacher's sermon and robbed the preacher and his wife. They say Bishop Lamar Whitehead, who is 44, was preaching at Leaders of Tomorrow International Ministry on Remsen Street in Canarsie at around 11:15 a.m. when three men stormed into the building, robbed the preacher and his wife at gunpoint. Victims told police the man made off with over $1 million in jewelry, including rings, watches, and chains. And that's just off the preacher and his wife. They don't say that the people robbed the attendees of the church. They just robbed him and his wife and made off with $1 million worth of jewelry. One of the suspects allegedly pointed a gun in the face of Whitehead's 8-month-old child. After the incident, the preacher said he followed the robbers and saw them getting into a white Mercedes-Benz where they changed their clothes and took off their masks before fleeing the scene. There is a $50,000 reward being offered by the preacher for the arrest of these men. And Whitehead is known for being a flashy preacher, driving expensive cars, wearing lots of jewelry. And the men that walked into that church, they knew exactly what they wanted, and they knew who to go for. That's some real disrespect. They ain't wait until after service. They could have got him in the street, went to his house, but no, instead they went to the church during service in the middle of a sermon and robbed this man and his wife. And it's just crazy. But is it, does maybe the pastor, the preacher have something to do with it because of his lifestyle, because of his flashiness? I don't know. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on my Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. Thank you for your support, sending in these stories. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you. I want to go back to the water beads challenge story, please, if you will. I want to make sure I got some of this information correctly. Now, excuse me, there's a correction officer who's been arrested. Do they think he shot the 18-year-old? Is that what you said?
They know he shot the 18-year-old. They don't know why. Because they found the 18-year-old with one of those water bead rifles, and they don't know if maybe the correction officer shot him because the boy pointed this water bead gun at him, or, you know, was playing around with his gun, and maybe he thought that it was a real gun and he shot the boy. They don't know why he did it and if it had anything to do with the water bead gun that they found on the young man.
Okay. And I believe that might be all of my questions this morning. Now, The position that the lady had in North Carolina, did you say that her position is a town manager?
Yeah.
Now, how long did she, when did she get that position?
She just got the position about a month ago. So they just started resigning.
Okay. Thank you so much, Viv. Oh, you always got the stories. You took my last story, though. Your wild story. I've been holding since Monday. But I'll forgive you because you didn't know. I'll forgive you.
Thank you. It happens all the time. I find stuff and I'm like, I hope Pastor Steph don't find the story first. And you always do.
I actually did. And Brother Al kept saying he wanted to talk about something. And as soon as we hung up on Monday, that's what he called me about. And I told him, I said, I didn't do the story. That was because I initially said I had two stories and I only read one story because I was holding that one back to do a little more research. And he mentioned that there could be some twisted link to his lifestyle. So that's our wild story today. It's okay because we got a whole lot of wild stories in this world, girl. Thank you so much, and we pray you have a blessed day. Always hang around as long as you can, just in case we have some questions. Please.
Okay.
Thank you. There you have it. You have your stories for the morning. So let's say good morning to our ladies, our women of worship this morning. Let's say good morning to our Elder Nitesha Moore. Good morning, Elder Nitesha.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you, too. How are you over there?
I am great over here in Grandma Land.
Girl, if I see one more smile, I'm like, her face is about to burst wide open. Oh, my goodness. With the cute little bundle of joy. And God bless you both. How is mom? I want to ask. How's the new mom?
Mom is doing great. She's doing good. She's adjusting, figuring out, you know, how to change a pamper in under 5 minutes.
Especially for that boy, right? Ooh, girl.
Right.
Especially for that boy. Oh, that's nice. Giving God thanks for everyone coming along well. And we're happy to have you on as always. So, what story do you want to talk about before we get to our wow story today?
Yeah, I think we'll talk about the town that's you know, making it, all the police are deciding that they're going to resign because this black woman is taking office. It's obvious that that's the reason, right? Because
right.
How does an environment become hostile in a month? Simply because of the fact that
right. She
has moved into that position. All of a sudden now it's a hostile work environment. No, and all of you realize it's a hostile work environment at the same time?
And if it is a hostile work environment,
whose responsibility? She's not in that office, right? If you're the
right,
then the hostile work environment is because of you. It's not because of her.
Okay.
So it's very clear that what you want to do is you want to prove a point. You want to try to, you know, y'all all band together to get her out of her position because you know the town is going to be up in arms. They need the police. So now it becomes the entire police force versus this one black woman.
Absolutely. That's why I had to make sure, Elder Letitia, that I had her position correct. Because I was a little lost. I thought initially that she was the police chief. And then when Vivian mentioned that the police chief resigned after 21 years, I said, well, wait a minute. Well, what was her position? And I agree with you 100%. What does the town manager have to do with the results and the police chief is taking no responsibility for whatever hostile environment that exists? So you're right. You're absolutely right. This is to prove a point. This is to turn that town upside down.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So based on this name, you know, this is a thing that we do over here. We try to identify the person or the side of the fence they're on, as we say, based on the name. So Vivian, just hit me and let me know if this is on our side of the fence or not, please. Because I want to ask you something like that. Now, this is something that we are experiencing, you know, as women, which is a minority, quote-unquote, and African-American minority, quote-unquote. You know, so where do we go from here when things like that happen? Yeah, I mean, you're really up against something when this can take place. This is not a progressive town, clearly.
Right. Yeah.
Where do you think you go from there?
You know something? I'll be honest with you. I think that, you know, it's when you're in the position that I think, you know, and again, for me as a Christian woman, as a believer, it's in these moments when we're in these roles that we really have to rely on the wisdom of God on how to move, right? You know, I have found myself in corporate America on a number of occasions with being the only person of color at the table. And each time, right, I had to find my voice. I had to be comfortable with my existence, period. I've had to really be fine with if I don't have anything to contribute to the conversation, then I don't have to try to put myself in it. I think that just makes you look foolish and makes you look extra. And I think it's the wisdom. It's the wisdom of God that has to really help us to figure out how we're supposed to move in this situation. I think the problem here is that when you have an entire police force, right, because now that's endangering the community. People now, you end up forced to make a decision. You are forced to have to say to her, you know what, for the sake of the town, we know it's not right, but for the sake of the town, before, you know, criminals start saying, oh, we ain't got no police, and start going crazy. And
right.
We're gonna need you to step down. We're gonna need you to, you know, relinquish your position. So she gets bullied to some degree out of her position unless someone of higher authority the governor of that town, the mayor of that town, demands that they actually get back in place, that they don't allow it. They say, you will not get your severance. You will not get your, you know, your years of building up for your 401k. All of that will be taken from you if you abandon your position this way. You see what I'm saying? Like, I think that would be the only way. That would be the only way that I think, you know, this can really be rectified. She would need help. She would need someone to stand with her of higher authority to not let it go down this way. And when you threaten their future and take away their severance packages and their 401ks and their retirement plans, they will get back to work the next day.
And that's what I was thinking. That's why I was asking you, where do we go from here? Because, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit here on It's Due Time. And when you start hitting people in their pockets, you know, and their family is now, you know, going to suffer because you're willing to let a town suffer. Just like you said, you let them criminals in that town here. Oh, we ain't got no police. Even people who had never considered committing a crime. Now they gonna, but you got brand new criminals on the horizon, you know? You're like, no, you're not gonna set this town up to, you know, to become, you know, just this madhouse. And now the animals are running the zoo. And I agree with you. You know, you have to make this hard decision in and of yourself. You know, do you step down and say, hey, you know, this is not the town where I'm supposed to be town manager. But, you know, maybe this is not the place, but I know that I can. So maybe God has opened up another door. Maybe I need to know that I can. That's all I needed to know, that, you know, that I could actually get there. And there's a possibility that a door is open someplace else. Maybe after some other town. And we've seen this in the Bible. We've seen this in real life, Elder Nitesha, where, you know, something happens here. But because you didn't get what you were supposed to get, quote, unquote, here, someone else found out about you, heard about you, and now said, well, you know what, don't even worry about that. Come on over here where we could use someone like you. So you don't know, you know, if that's even, you know, the setup. But in regards to the other, you know, option that you mentioned about her getting help from a higher authority, maybe that's what that town needed. Maybe for too long these people have been running, and it took for her to, you know, be placed in this position for an outside higher authority, you know, person or entity to actually work within that town. So, you know, you never know how God is going to move. Never know. And for the record, before you go any further, just to let you know, Vivian did say she is a woman of color.
Okay. I thought I heard Vivian say that she was a woman of color. But But I also think, right, to your point, the second point, that, you know, there's always had to be that agent of change. And perhaps, right, if we see this level of racism in, you know, in the police force, what does it look like in that town? And
that's
so having a black woman be courageous enough to say, we need change here, right? And actually get into this position. So, like, I also think that her part of her purpose is that she is an agent of change. And so this, even if she doesn't remain the manager of the town, that this is at least the start to something. You know what I mean? Or that she has to stand her ground. And that she does have to get help. And again, we're going to change this because this town is racist. And so that's the reason why I am here, because I am here because y'all are racist, and we are going to change this. And I expected this type of response to me getting this position. We already expected it. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I brought up, you know, other instances that we've heard where in biblical times where there was that aging of change. Did something about that position and the response to that position made this high enough in the response that now things will take a shift? So I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. I really believe that, you know, this can go any way. And God didn't, you know, he's not asleep on this. That's a good part about it. You know, whenever we are, you know, mistreated and, you know, underserved, if you will, he always steps up. So, you know, there are other people in that town clearly that don't have a voice. And maybe it's about that time for it to take a change. So I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Kim Brooks. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning. How are you all doing this morning?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I am well, thank you for asking. All is well.
Very good. Very good. Now, before we get to the bishop giving away his money, what story do you want to take?
Let's talk about the woman whose husband was molesting the children at the daycare.
Okay.
And she took matters into her own hand. And she goes to shoot him, and we're wondering if she should serve time for that, correct?
Right. Yes, Vivian did put that question out there. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like he is absolutely wrong for what he did in regards to molesting those children at that daycare, but, you know, to take matters into her own hand, you know, so, you know, if this is your husband, now you got a problem on top of a problem, you know, to go to shoot him. I don't feel like, I understand that she was probably upset and angry, you know, hurt, and probably all kinds of different emotions probably were going through her, but to shoot him, to do bodily harm to him. I just feel like vengeance is the Lord's, you know. I think sometimes we need to just allow God to, you know, to fight our battles for us, and we have to turn situations over to him, because she could have, you know, I mean, she could seriously end up doing some time for his crime, you know, that he's committed, you know. I mean, and if they have children or what have you, you know, then to have both parents incarcerated, you know, then, you know, that's not going to be good, you know, because if he did something that was wrong, you know, you just, sometimes we just can't take matters into our own hands. Sometimes we have to let the Lord, you know, handle that, or let the, you know, the police or the right officials to just handle those matters, you know. But again, I'm not justifying his actions, because it was definitely wrong, you know, that he was molesting children.
You know, I like the way you put the terminology you used. You said she could possibly do time for his crime. And we know ultimately, you know, she's going to do time, you know, because she actually did the shooting. But it's an interesting way to look at it, Pastor Kim. As, you know, because you took this matter into your own hands, you know, now you're going to serve time based on something that he did. That's an interesting way of phrasing that, you know. And she, you know, as Vivian said, you know, she reported this thing to the police, and there had still been no arrest, or they had never addressed it. Maybe they figured they were going to investigate or wait till another allegation came through. I don't know. But You know, they said that she kind of invited him to the hotel and then shot him. So, you know, now mm-hmm. Pastor Kim is like premeditated, you know what I'm saying, opposed to mm-hmm. somebody calling you on the phone and saying, you know, your husband just got finished mm-hmm. and now you pulling out a gun and shooting him. Now you didn't invite him to the mm-hmm. hotel in order
right.
to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. You know, that is, you know, and oftentimes that's what we find happening, you know, when people are doing different things, whether it be family or spouses or what have you, you know, we try to go ahead of the police and try to do their job or try to handle situations which only make matters even worse. You know, and I understand her frustration, you know, and feeling like, you know, something should be done. But again, you know, we just have to use wisdom. You know, I just don't think that was a wise thing to do, you know, was to, you know, to premeditate, you know, handling this situation by shooting the man, you know.
Yeah. And it makes sense. It makes sense what you say. You know, now if they have children, now, you know, mom is in jail because she didn't murder him. He's still alive, I believe. And now mm-hmm. you're going to jail. And now your little daycare center is where? You know,
right.
So you destroy more than one thing, as you said, you know, now taking matters into your own hands, you know, now we really put some other things at jeopardy or in jeopardy, you know, when we can't wait it out because something could have happened, mm-hmm. you know, where your hands were clean, like you said, you let your hands stay clean. So
mm-hmm.
we thank you so much for joining us this morning, Pastor Kim. Happy to have you with us. And we're coming back to that wow story, needless to say. But let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Of course, as always, glad to have you with us.
Amen.
So what story do you want to talk about this morning?
I want to talk about how I'm about to take my babies to the Jackie Robinson Museum before the summer is out. God's fair.
Okay, okay.
Especially after visiting the African American Museum twice, and I want to go back there as well. But especially after going there, you know, just hearing about this museum is... it just sounds so exciting, you know, and you don't know what you're going to go in there and be able to view and learn. And I just find it amazing how this woman was able to be here at this age and still have all her faculties enough to not just be there, but to be aware of what was going on. Like 100 years is a whole lot of years to have seen a whole lot of things. You know, and that's a real, real blessing. I can't even imagine how she was feeling. She was probably saying, okay, Jesus, you can come now. I didn't see it all now. Okay, you know, so I'm excited to be able to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the part that got to me was they started this in 2008.
Yes, when she said 14 years, I was like, whoa, it's been that long. Where they been? Well, I don't frequent the city like that, so I can't act like, you know, I've been seeing this site and wondering when they were going to finally open. I ain't know nothing about this. But, yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, 14 years, goodness.
So, you know, of course, with all of the, you know, things, I'm sure, you know, the forces may not have been so cooperative, which is
mm-hmm.
why it took so long for it to, you know, for this to come to fruition. But I agree, what a blessing at 100 years of age to experience watching and your
mm-hmm.
children
mm-hmm.
and your grandchildren to
mm-hmm.
actually see and be a part of this monumental occasion.
Yes.
Really, really, really something that, you know, we should be proud of. And, you know, it's just something that is long overdue. So giving God thanks that we are able to really see something like that come to fruition. So just let me know when you plan on taking the baby, because I want to be a baby that day and attend the road trip. I want to attend the road trip. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. So we're talking about the bishop who is in Canarsie, Brooklyn, New York. He is known to be a flashy pastor, leader. And during a live stream of his service, while he was at the pulpit, he was robbed. You know, several men came in at, you know, and robbed them at gunpoint. Again, not seeing him point the guns, they say, at any of the parishioners. But specifically, the video showed, like I said, I saw this for myself the other day, the video showed him saying, all right, as he was getting on the ground, on the floor rather, as they told him to get on the floor. And when Monday's post said $400,000 worth of jewelry, and it didn't say that it was just he and the wife, it said $400,000 in jewelry that was stolen, not the offering, thank God, but you know what I'm saying. Not the offering or anything like that, but just specifically the jewelry. Now, when Vivian gets this updated story, they have now increased this to $1 million worth of jewelry just between he and the wife. Now, there's a few things we got time to talk about here, but I won't bring these things up. I'm going to let you bring these things up, and I'll just join the conversation. And Pastor Kim, we're going to start with you. Now, are you and Elder Tyrone over there busting out the jury? Do I need to visit the church?
Look here. We were talking about that. And I told him, I said, you know what? Something in the milk ain't clean. That sounds like an insurance job to me. I'm sorry. You know, my discernment is just telling me, you know, about, you know, I mean, people are going through financially, and it just, something just don't rest right with me with that. You know, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I could be wrong, you know, I could be wrong. But who has that kind of jury on going to church? I mean, you bring out all your bling bling to go praise the Lord. You going up in the church house, I mean, blinging like that? Really? Wow. Yeah, that's a wild story for real.
That was an Ernie
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like Pastor Charlene. Pastor Charlene is always, she's got this conspiracy theory that no matter what story you tell, Pastor Charlene's like, something ain't right about this story. So you remind me of
a dead cat on the line. Yep, dead cat on the line, honey.
Yeah, that
just doesn't sound, no.
Wow, mm-hmm. Wow. Shantese, what's your thought? What comes through your head when you, you know, listen, here's the thing. You, Elder Nitesha, and myself, we're from New York City. Regardless of where we live, we're from New York City. Pastor Kim, you're from, you know, the Detroit area. So we're all from the hood. Let's just call it what it is. So that's why I want to have this conversation with the three of you. So I'm going back to you, Pastor Kim. because I got another question. But, you know, coming from the hood, Shanti, you're not a pastor or an elder or a bishop. What comes to your mind when you hear of a story like this of somebody in the hood?
This is what happens when you a dry Christian. Because ain't no way you going to tell me. And from what I hear, he lives in Jersey. Okay, so.
Oh.
Yeah, from what I hear, he lives in Jersey. And so you left your home in Jersey, right? Because I haven't watched anything as far as, like, anyone speaking about it. But apparently there's a former pastor who's now a blogger, to my understanding, who did who highlighted this story, and he pointed out how, okay, so you left from your home in Jersey, you go to Brooklyn, as Pastor Kim said, because that was my thought. You go to church, wherever your church was. Your church could have been in your basement. You go to church with all this jewelry. You get robbed, and an hour later, you're back at home in Jersey doing a live. And it's like,
what?
How you get from, first of all, how you get from Brooklyn to Jersey that quick? And on a Sunday. And you then get on and do a live. Okay, so there's a whole lot of conspiracy thoughts going on. But this just doesn't sound right to me either, especially after I heard that. This is, and especially as the woman. So it's being said that all this jewelry came off of the bishop and his wife. What are you doing when you saw your husband getting ready to leave the house looking like Junebug from I'ma Get You, Sucker? you thought this was okay? Like, you didn't say, all right, babe, that's just, listen, we going to church. Not only are we going to church, everybody's coming to look at you. You're standing in front of everybody. You don't need a ring on every finger. You don't need 15 chains on. You don't need earrings on. Everyone's coming. So was this over or under the robe? And then if you weren't wearing all the jewelry, what, did you just pack it up with you in a suitcase and take it with you? It's just like so many different things that's going through my mind. It's like, were y'all wearing all this jewelry, or was some of this in reserve in her bag sitting next to her during service? And why? And you really crossed the GWB not thinking that somebody was going to rob you? Or have they eye, even if the robbery didn't take place this week, that no one was going to have their eye on all this jewelry, that this was going to bring some type of negative attention, even if it wasn't robbery, but just a big talk in the church. Why bishop come here with all this jewelry? Why first lady here? Well, like, you didn't think anything was going to happen?
No. Some questions to be answered. Elder Nakisha. Now, you and Pastor Greg, we all from the hood. We all got hood congregants.
Amen.
Right.
Now, really? What you thinking?
I'm thinking, he said, I'm putting on all my jewelry today because I'm going to get robbed. it doesn't make sense to me, right, that he would put on all his finer jewelry. He put it all on today, on this particular Sunday. So I'm curious as to whether this was his custom, right, that he always, I know he's flashy, but did he always wear, you know, that amount of jewelry, he and his wife, because then that does lead us back to this conspiracy theory that Pastor Kim is talking about, because all of a sudden on the day that you decide that you're going to wear all your finer jewelry is the day that they just show up at the church and rob you. That's quite a coincidence. But I also think that there's a bigger issue here as well that I've been talking about and I've been praying about,
And that is the fact that the church is no longer a sacred and reverent place. And we are seeing more and more incidences where the desecration of the church is occurring. And I think it begins with the people of God, because your mindset that you needed to show the abundance or the blessings of God by wearing all of this stuff and standing up in God's holy pulpit to preach to his people in Carnarvon, Brooklyn, where's the holiness in that? Where is the reverence for the sacred responsibility that you hold? There's a way for us to be prosperous and to show prosperity that doesn't have anything to do with mounting on materialistic things. And so I think that there is a larger problem. There is a desecration of the church. And I believe it begins with the people of God. We've become so familiar with church that no longer do we reverence it, no longer do we respect it. And that's why you see people who can get up, you know, before they sing and put on a comedy performance. You're bringing your carnality into the pulpit. You're bringing your carnalism, you're bringing your materialism into the pulpit and attempt to touch the sacred things of God. It's a display of the desecration of the church.
And that's the question I wanted to ask. You know, are we to partially, you know, take some of that blame? As that's why I brought out very clearly, we're in the hood. Let's just call it what it is. All of us are from the hood. And how in the world? We have already seen, forget about jewelry and what we wear. We have already seen evidence, and we've talked about this on this segment. We've talked about this on other days with the other Due Time crew of how there's no respect. They've gone up into the church and killed people. They've gone up in the church and robbed before. They do all kind of things in the church now. So therefore, we have clearly seen that there is no respect anymore for the church. Now, you go and put on all of this jewelry. Now, I saw the picture of the two of them when I looked at the article on Monday. Now, he was a little more flashy than she was, but she had this cross on her neck with the blinged out chain and then blinged out cross. And I'm saying to myself, why are we dressing like this for service? And now, again, you going, I didn't even know he was from Jersey. And now we're going up in the hood wearing this stuff. And we don't think, even let's say for instance, he had nothing to do with this robbery. And this is not a fake thing. And there's no real conspiracy theory here. But you would really, really draw. So are we now inviting the disrespect into the church? Pastor Kim, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, it's just crazy how people have, you know, just allowed the church no longer to be a sacred place or a place that's come where we come to worship God. It's just, church is just no longer what it used to be, you know, and you know my say, we are in our last and evil days, you know, men have become lovers of themselves, you know, and the Bible's just fulfilling itself, you know, men's hearts have waxed cold, you know, to where, you know, that you can even find somebody, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were, you know, because I don't know if they had insurance or not, you know, but it definitely to me sounds like some kind of an insurance job or something. You know, I just.
And that's possibility.
I'm sorry, what are you saying?
No, I said I was agreeing with you. It's a big possibility. So already that's a disrespect of the church. Already that's
absolutely
a disrespect of the church. Absolutely.
It is.
Big respect.
It
big
is.
Disrespect of the church.
I mean, I think if you came up in there with all of that stuff around your neck looking like Ron DMC, somebody, you know, and you come into church, you know, how can people, you know, because I've always had a thing about, you know, like when I go to church, you know, especially if I am the one that's bringing a message, I've always tried to be as low-key as possible, you know, wearing like a black suit, like if I go out to minister or, you know, eulogizing services or things like that where all eyes are on me, you know, I always try to just be very conservative, low-key, dressed down to where, you know, my attention is not drawn to my my real pretty paparazzi necklace to where somebody focusing on that opposed to the word that's coming forth, you know, or, you know, not putting on no blingy rings or earrings that's going to draw attention to, ooh, how much that costs, or I wonder where she got that from, you know, because people are carnal-minded, you know. So, again, you know, I try to be as low-key as possible and to just go to church with all of this attention drawn stuff on that is totally going to grasp the attention of people, that even if it wasn't an insurance job or whatever it was, you know, where is your mindset at? You know, your focus couldn't been on, you know, souls and the people, somebody getting saved when you know, you dressing to impress or to try to, you know, make some kind of a statement of look at me and look at my jury, you know, you setting yourself up, you know, for somebody to rob you. So it just doesn't make sense to me. Yeah.
Absolutely, Pastor Kim, absolutely. You know, Shanti, as Pastor Kim was talking, I was thinking, and I want to ask you as a congregant, because I'm going to ask Alder and Aitisha the same question. When we're preparing to go to church, what is your mind on? When you're choosing your clothes, hold on. When you're choosing your clothes, what is your mind on? When you're choosing your accessories as a lady, what is your mind on?
Well, God transformed my mind when it comes to that in particular, because I was never really flashy. But again, I remember there being Sabbath mornings where I would go to get dressed, you know, and not really like with the mindset of like, you know, how women were dressing for date night or, you know, going out with the girls or whatever. But I will go to put certain things on, and the Holy Spirit would be like, no, don't wear that. Do not wear that. You know, because you don't know who's going to be looking at you. And not even in like a sexual way, but just you don't know who's going to be looking at you. So now when I, you know, go to get dressed, it's all about, okay, you know, modesty. And I find myself sometimes, you know, like I'll ask out loud to God, I'm like, is this okay? Is this okay? And I feel actually... You know, I actually feel, you know, the difference. Like before, I believe I said this before, you know, back when we were going to Grandma Pastor Burroughs Church, you know, I would have on my hoop earrings, and she'd be like, girl, don't be coming in here with them hoop earrings on. And she would say it like, you could tell she was serious, but she was so respectful and soft-spoken with it. And even like now, sometimes I won't even put my studs on. I may just put like my earrings in the top part of my ear on. Or if I do feel like wearing the earrings, I wear my studs. And I'm so happy with it. Even if my hair covers the studs, it's just like I'm genuinely fine with it. So I think, you know, God has to do his work in me, you know, with that. My intentions and my motives in the past didn't matter. All he knew was he had to tell me, don't wear that. Even if it wasn't forever and ever, amen, maybe just for this particular week, but it was, don't wear that. But now I do feel like, you know, I do want to be a lot more modest with the clothing. And again, my accessories are never really out there. But still, it's, again, like we brought up a few weeks ago, when your mind is so consumed with what you're going to wear, Now you have to go out there and purge, you know, because we purge before we get the service going in this church. Now you have to go out there and purge because already you're inviting all of these different ideas and stuff into your mind before the day even gets started. So it has to be, you know, a modest mind for me, because even if my mind isn't so consumed with the clothing, but how do I know now that with me being so focused on what I'm wearing, my accessories and my hair accessories and all of that, that may not be inviting so many other thoughts and ideas that's going to now taint and consume my mind and my attention that I can't even properly focus during the service.
You hit, combined with Pastor Kim, you hit where I'm going. And Elder Nitesha, that was one of the reasons why the question came in my head. We talked about, you know, you brought up again this issue, you and Pastor Kim, of the disrespect of the church. And there are a whole lot of ways we disrespect God and our fellow congregants and our sheep, if you will. And I'm asking you, you know, when you're preparing, Pastor Kim has already said, when all eyes are going to be on her, you know, she puts on modesty. You know, she doesn't put on this or that where somebody's going to be thinking about, oh, you know, that is a dope chain she got on. I wonder where she got that from. But what is your head when you're getting dressed to deliver the word? Now, he's the bishop, knowing he's going to church to give the word, because when he was taken down, he was at the pulpit giving the word. Where should your head be when you're preparing to give the word and you're getting dressed?
Right. I mean, again, it goes back to the sacred responsibility and the weight that's on your shoulders, right? The word tells us that we are judged, you know, for those of us who are teachers of the word, that we are judged even harsher than the hearer or the recipient of that word. And so it is a huge responsibility. That moment, regardless of how long I've been doing it, regardless of even how comfortable I can feel in doing it, there is a weight that comes along, even with the message. When we're preparing the message, like, the message should be hitting you first. And then there is usually a burden that comes along with what you're getting ready to deliver. If you have prayed for your church, if you've sought God about what it is that the people need to hear, then the weight of the responsibility then governs your behavior, and it governs how you position yourself for that moment. So, like, I mean, you want to look nice, right? Because I am representing the King. But I also understand that it is absolutely not about me in this moment, and I don't want to be a distraction by any means, by no means. I don't want to be a distraction, because what I need you to get is the message that God has dropped in my spirit for you, because I understand that this, I don't know when your last day is. This could be the last day I see you at church. You can leave this church moment. You can leave this place and it be your last. You not make it to next Sunday. I bear a responsibility. Those of us who hold the title or who are given the opportunity, regardless of your title, to stand before people and minister, you don't know if this is their last moment. And that should be a weight that governs everything else about how you present for that day and for that moment. And that's what I believe we've gotten away from. We don't carry the burden anymore, because you was too busy. Your neck was heavy with chains. You didn't have no burden on your shoulders for what you was ready to preach.
Oh, gosh. That was a nice analogy.
Right.
Woo. Ladies, I want to talk. You know, we've spoken about this, and I can't remember whether it was us, and we probably have, because we talked about a whole lot of things. But it definitely came up in with some of my other G-Time crew members, the wife's responsibility. You know, it was said that, you know, when you looked over at your husband, now remember now, this is $400,000 to $1 million of jewelry was taken from the two of them alone. So looking at him,
because then, like I said, they took a picture, and I'm assuming that that was a picture maybe from earlier that day or from a typical week that they go out to service. So let's just say he has on more jewelry than she does. And it was said a little while ago, you know, when you look over and you're like, okay, babe, listen, do we need all of this jewelry today? What is the wife's responsibility? And I'm going to start with you, Pastor Kim. What is the wife's responsibility as, you know, his helpmate to help call his attention to, this might be a little bit much to go to service in. This might be a little bit much to minister and give the sermon in, this because this might be a distraction. What is her responsibility?
Well, like you said, you know, I would think that her responsibility would be for her to be the helpmate, you know, and we're supposed to be each other's helpmate. I feel like, you know, when I come short, I would think that my husband should be able to be the one to tell me, oh, no, that's too short, you know, or no, that don't look right, or no, you should take that off. And I feel like vice versa. She should have, if she or the both of them were too blinged out, you know, they should both be like, wait a minute, babe. You know, just like the Bible speaks of the wife being the one that sanctifies her household. So that means that the wife should carry a certain weight of holiness to where she should be a spokesperson, or she should stand in a certain light or in such a way that she should be the one that's encouraging the family, the household, in such a way that she's being a positive role model. So therefore, if you see that we going out the door as leaders and we looking crazy with all of this jewelry on, like we going to a costume party or something, then you should say, hey, babe, we need to put some of this down. You know, our goal is souls. We supposed to be soul winners. We supposed to be about our Father's business. We supposed to be going, you know, to administer a word. This going to draw attention. We need to go put this up in the safe. We need to put this up and wear this one. We're going out for fine dining or something, you know, not to church. So I would think that the wife should be some sort of a helpmate, to where she would be the one to pull his coattail and at least say something.
All right now. Shantice, I believe you were the one who brought this up, you know, about what she should be, you know, her responsibility as the wife. You know, how far do you think she should go with that attention and questioning and kind of, you know, advising him? How far do you think she should go with that? Shantice, did I lose you?
Oh, sorry, I was talking to mute button.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yes, I said she should go, I believe, as the wife, she should have went to extreme, you know, measures for multiple reasons, even if your mind wasn't on anything, you know, happening like that. But it is my, listen, I'm about to hit up this group chat and let them know that service is canceled until Bishop understands what Bishop is getting ready to lead his house to go do. So since Bishop is tripping and he's thinking about his former life, ain't no service. Or it'll be Zoom this week. Because, you have to, if as the wife, you're supposed to be the helpmate, how are you helping? I ain't see no help. That is like, you were just useless. You helped, well, you did help. You helped him get robbed because you didn't do your part. Now, you and him got robbed. That is just like where you need to speak up. You didn't really speak up. Now, she probably spoke up when it was time to buy her jewelry. But when it was time for him to be modest and for yourself to be modest, you didn't have anything to say. She should have went to all extremes, because, again, that says a lot about you. Even if
he was the only one who showed up flashy. It still says a lot about you. I'm not sitting in this congregation listening to you and looking at you like this, like I'm okay with this. Now, I'd have gave the church something to talk about. Where's First Lady? Why is she not here? I can't support this. No, I think she really dropped the ball.
Wow. That would be an interesting conversation. After that, ASAP. 20 or 21 years is deep. Ooh, Shantisha, she's blowing up the bishop. How far do we take this, you know, assistance? You know, when we're looking at our husband, the bishop, the pastor, who's getting ready to get dressed, and we're looking and we're like, okay, this is way too much. How far do we go?
I mean, yikes. Poor wife. She done got crucified along with him in his foolishness. But that's usually how we go, right? Like, we are one. And so when we walk out, you know, you represent me and I represent you. Now, unless we are of like-mindedness, and usually that is the case, right? So there seems to have, you know, been a sense of, you know, we turning it, you know, in both of them, you know. So I don't think that, you know, her mind was, you know, on the fact that she wasn't being a helper. It's the fact that they are one and they are of the same mind and functioning in that same type of spirit, I think, is what we can assume. And then I'll say this, that it really doesn't go that way. It doesn't go that way where I, you know, as the wife, as the helper, that I get to control my husband. I don't control him. He doesn't control me. I can make suggestions. I can influence, right? And I think that's a process that happens over time that causes him to change between my voice encouraging him and influencing him and then God working on his heart. But as the help me, right, help, doesn't mean that I can actually influence him one way or another. What I can do is use my influence to say, babe, you're quite extra today. You're extra today, right? Now, he has the same ability to turn right back around to me and say, I'm good. I'm a grown man. I have my own Holy Spirit, my own relationship with God, and I'm good. And then that's between him and God. But then I also get to say, well, babe, you think it's wise for us to leave our home in Jersey and go stepping in the hood, like you are daring them to come get you.
Right.
You just gonna come walking up in the hood and waving at everybody. Hey people. First of all, this is insulting. How dare you? We over here struggling, trying to figure out how to buy Pampers, how to get milk, and you're gonna walk up in our community talking about you the pastor with $1 million worth of jewelry on? That is insulting. I'm robbing you simply because who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to walk up in our community and we struggling? And then you're going to stand up there and preach to us and tell us what we need to do, so on and so forth. And then we pay our tithes and give it our offering. And you come up in here looking like this. And we go back home to our apartment in the project. This is a
You're going to stay out. But no, I'm going to stop you right now. You're going to stay out of my sandbox, girl. Elder, pastor. You're going to stay out my sandbox. I'm stopping you. because I got to come back around. I'm coming back around. Hold on. Because that was my thought. I wrote down, how do we shop? How do we, as a couple, a power couple, the first family, the bishop and the wife, how do we shop for this jury? Then we go put this jewelry on. We're already coming from New Jersey. So that indicates we didn't made it out the hood. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to couple it with
Now you didn't win, but all this jury, you ain't got no job. So what does that look like? You gonna mm-hmm. come back to the hood with this jewelry on? And what does that say to your community? What does it say to mm-hmm. your parishioners? What does it? I was so mad when you went there. I said, no, she didn't. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. I'm about to come over there and take the grandbaby because she done made me mad right now. No, no, she didn't. That's why I said, no, I'm stopping you. I'm stopping you because I want you to hold on to that because I'm coming back around. Pastor Kim, what are we saying when we have first shopped for this jewelry and now we're going to wear this jewelry back into an impoverished community? What are we doing? What are we saying?
It's not making a good statement at all. Is saying that you have your priorities in the wrong place. Is saying that you are ghetto. Is saying that, you know, as a leader, you are not leading by example. You know, because, you know, a leader's mindset should be follow me as I follow Christ. Is that somebody that anybody would want to follow? You know, because even if that, you know, if you're not a materialistic person, like the word says, man looks at the outer appearance. Yeah, so by looking at the outer appearance, you're looking like you're a materialistic person. You're looking like you're a drug dealer. You're just sending the wrong kind of message as a messenger. So it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. And that, I'm sorry. If you're trying to be a good example and trying to lead the sheep, I'm sorry. I just couldn't. You know, you just couldn't be my pastor. I'm sorry. You know, we got churches almost on every corner. I think I would just keep on going past your church because, you know, how you gonna teach somebody something? How are you gonna bring a word and encourage and inspire somebody in the Word of God? And again, how do you get past all of the bling bling? You and your wife. That's just too much.
Mm-mm-mm. Now, Elder Natisha, I'm coming back to you, and I'm gonna throw a little something else in this mix. That's why I wanted to stop you, because you talked about the community and they can buy Pampers and all of this stuff. I want to throw into the mix of it was said that he is an ex-gang member. So now you got the ex-gang member who's the Gordy pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Add that now to your equation of how we look to the community and to our parishioners. Now, fire away.
Yeah, you look like a pimp is what you look like, right? So because what you've done is you just should change hustles. So now when you were a gang member out here getting money, right, because you were hustling or robbing folks or doing whatever you do as part of the gang, what you've done, right, is now switch hustles. And so now what it looks like is that you are hustling the people and you are wearing the hustle externally for everyone to be able to see it. That's what that looks like to everyone.
Ooh.
And I think, again, there's also this audacity, the audacity of you. Because, you know, and think about it. Every time we go to church, you always have the people from the community that's, you know, sitting out there. The guys be sitting out there on the corner and stuff like that, and they're watching, you know, they're watching you go to church. And usually they'll have, you know, they'll have a little respect, like, you know, hey, sis, God bless you, sis. Pray for me today, sis. You know what I mean? I'm out here. Pray for me today. You know, I always encounter that. When I was going to church in Harlem, you know, you have the guys that's a part of the community that's out there. And they saying, you know, pray for me. I know this ain't right. Pray for me today, sis. You know, you look nice today. I saw you last Sunday, too. You know, so they watching. They see. They are true members of the community. So now they watching you. Every Sunday, you will come riding through the block, right, with, we don't know what kind of car he drove, right? That wasn't part of the story, so I don't want to make it up. But,
right.
I would assume it's a flashy car. So you're
right.
Driving through the community with your flashy car, and then you're getting out, and you just with all of this stuff on. What you did was you dared me to come and take it. You dared me to come and take it, especially if I know Sister such and such from over there across the street, and she's going to your church every Sunday, and I know that woman is struggling. I know she ain't got nothing, and she coming up in your church every Sunday for hope, but you get out, and you and your wife is just stepping out, looking like y'all coming straight from Hollywood, from the red carpet.
Mm.
That's enough to make a person want to rob you. Because how dare you?
Ooh, I knew you had some more left up in you. I knew you had some more left up in you. I knew you had some more. You switched to hustle. It was a terminology you used. I was like, oh, ooh, she said that. Oh, you're wearing your hustle. Oh, my goodness gracious. So Pastor Kim, she's going to stop going to your church. Elder Natisha says you wearing your hustle. Shanti, I don't even want to know what you got to say, but since I got to come to you to hear what you got to say, what you got to say about this thing? How do we look to the community? How do we look to, as Elder Natisha pointed out, to the struggling community? What do we look like?
Look like a fool. You look like, you don't look like someone who is actually into church, because again, even the non-believer, you know, it would come to their mind, how are you focusing on having and displaying and wearing all of this? And especially as a leader, you know, they would question that if you were just the average congregant, but especially as a leader, how are you doing all of this and you still got time to preach? Like, you still have mental time to preach. I see it as a huge turnoff, you know, and with me being a Christian, it's a huge turnoff. I can't even imagine how much of a turnoff it is to those. Yet, again, you're giving them another excuse as to why they don't go to church, as to why they don't tithe, as to why they don't do this and they don't do that. And again, I ain't know nothing about you being no ex-gang member. You lying. Ain't no way. Ain't no way you used to be an ex-gang. Where were you? You were a gang member where? In a town that no one knew of? Because I can't see you being an ex-gang member, especially in New York City. And you are bold enough to flaunt all this stuff, and you ain't got no gun on you. So when they did roll up in the church, you wasn't able to pull a gun from under the pulpit and surprise them. Like, I don't understand. Like, this was when you're a dry Christian. There's no way. You used to run these streets, and in these same streets, you now going floss like this? It don't matter what position you got. God don't matter to them. Well, they don't matter. God don't matter to people now anyway. But God don't matter to people now. You out here flossing, because just like Elder Natisha said, you immediately take people's mind back to, I know you when. I knew you when. So I'm pretty sure everyone who's running these streets with you, everybody ain't dead. Somebody's still living. So someone who knew you when see you like this now, and somebody done put a hit out on you, and you ain't got no protection? Mm-mm. This was just some silliness. So it just shows that you were so consumed about self that you didn't even think about safety. And just like Pastor Kim said, I don't need you governing my life, because that means you don't care about my spiritual safety, my physical safety, my mental safety, my emotional safety, my financial safety. You just an unsafe person. I don't want to be around you because you get hit. People get hit out from you. need no pastor where they got to hit out on, though. I don't need no. My ties ain't safe. Ain't no insurance on my ties either. No, thank you. No.
Ooh, honey, I love to talk to you ladies. Y'all always got some stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. And real quick, there was a comment sent in and actually addressed what Elder Natisha said. Yes, he does drive and flaunt in his Lamborghini and his Rolls Royce. So he's flashing across the board, not just with the jewelry.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how you parking your Lamborghini and Mercedes in the hood. So maybe people are watching it. What did you say?
I was like, exactly. See? I'm surprised they didn't go outside and jump in his Lamborghini. After they robbed him and took all his jewelry, they should have jumped in the car and drove off with that, too.
That's right.
Maybe he's going with that week.
Excuse me. Give me them keys, but why you at it? Let me have the keys to that car park out, you know, outside. Well, how are you even parking this kind of a car in this hood? Wow. While you were really quickly, Shanti, did you have any other comments from the listeners? Because I was actually going to come to you for that.
Oh yes, a listener sent in about the cars. Then sent in another comment, and I did hear this yesterday, too. He got robbed while talking about being broke. I did hear that yesterday.
No!
Yes, I did hear that yesterday. Yes. Yes, then another.
No.
Yes. Then he was doing a sermon on being broke.
Well, wait. Who was broke? The parishioners or him?
I think, because again, I didn't hear this for myself, but like I said, when I was talking to someone yesterday, they told me about, you know, everything else that I mentioned about the blogger and him being living in Jersey. They said that the sermon was on, I think he was talking about the parishioners, because the person said to me, like, how dare you, like, it was almost like he was being condescending in a way. So he may have been talking about the parishioners. So this just enforces what Elder Natisha was saying. It's like you sitting there going, nah, 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 this is what I have, and you don't, and now you don't either. So, yeah. But I did hear that yesterday. Wait, we got
Oh, my goodness gracious.
We got another comment. He's going to go broke trying to get his jewelry back. I can see that as well.
Wow.
Then another listener sent in, no, he's not going to go broke because he's going to start a quote-unquote missionary offering.
Oh, goodness gracious. My two cents follow-up.
Yes.
Wow.
We have a couple more. Comment was sent in, the Bible says you shouldn't love material things for... Wherever your heart is, your treasure is there. I'm sorry. Yeah, wherever your heart is, your treasure is there. Also, I forgot how the scripture goes. Forgive me. That's what they said.
That's pretty much how the scripture goes.
Right.
You get the point.
Right. And then last comment says, yes, his lifestyle was making him look like he was a rapper.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, even rappers are strapped. Trying to be no rapper. Because even rappers keep going.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, listeners. Points well taken. And we're grateful that you decided to join the conversation today. Ladies, as always, you turn any conversation into an extremely engaging one. Always some thought-provoking comments, thoughts that you have given us, and we thank you so much for your contribution into this conversation. I can wholeheartedly say that if you worship with Pastor Kim or if you worship with Elder Pastor Natisha, and if you come over here and you worship with Pastor Steph, we are not gaudy. We don't wear a whole lot of jewelry. We ain't rich. We ain't driving Lamborghinis.
We in the hood with you. Even if we don't live in it, our hearts are there. You know, and we identify with God's people on every level. And I'm sure over these, you know, the past 2 years, you have seen that, you know, you've seen the dynamics. And I want to say while you are on the mic, or still on mic, just in case you want to comment, we still have to do our faith over fear. You know, one thing this set of pastors have shown you, you know, we have the word, we know the word, we give the word, we are very humble here, very transparent. We do not lord ourselves over anyone. We do not, you know, we're not flashy. You don't even have to look at us physically to tell we're not flashy, because you can tell, you know, you can hear it and in a person's conversation. Because just like Shanti said, you know, he's talking about being broke. You know, you just don't hear that type of talk here. And, you know, if anything, we're advising you based on how we are living. So I really deem it an extreme blessing to share space, airtime, and ministering time with all of my ladies and my pastors and leaders, because we just don't live that kind of life. And I'm proud. I'm proud to say that, you know, I'm not opening up a Facebook page and, you know, we look, Elder and I teach you with some gold fronts. We're looking at Pastor Kim with, you know, with a ring on every finger. You know, we ain't looking, you know, it's a blessing. Pastor Charlene, you know, she ain't got all bling in her hair and a breast all shown. And, you know, it's just a pleasure, ladies. And I thank you so much for just inspiring me the way you do and just being real and wanting to give people, you know, love the proper way. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Amen. God bless.
All right. Thank you so much. We pray that you have a blessed day. Thank you so much. Oh, Pastor Charlene must be chomping at the bits right now. So we're going to give her the mic, that Faith Over Fear segment. You know, Pastor Charlene, we're talking about the gaudiness, good morning, of our pastor, our bishop out here in Queens. And as a pastor, you know, again, you know, no disrespect when I speak, you know, from the hood. You know, we're in the trenches with our people. And that's why I say we're in the hood, because we're in the trenches with our people. We're, you know, we are here. We're always here with our people. You know, what do you want to say today? How do you infuse faith over fear when we're looking at this particular instance?
Good morning to everyone. I was over here like, oh, my goodness. Well. Yes, I am from the hood, live in the hood, around the hood. So there is where I am. And no, I am not flashy. Actually, I take off everything when I stand in front of God's people. So my thing was about it all is, how do we get the people? We're giving them another reason of them not coming to Christ, and for the man of God to stand there and flashy. I've heard of him before this incident had happened. For you to stand there and to have on all of this is such a distraction, and people are talking. I know personally a preacher that that is very flashy as well, and one of the things that we have to get past is because by people watching us and they thinking that first thing you're thinking is that's my money that you're standing there and you have on this and you driving that. And just like it was stated of, I don't have nothing to eat in my home. You never asked me. You never helped me. You never even consider of giving me, let's go to the pawn shop. So I can make sure, if you don't have the money in your pocket, to make sure that sister so-and-so and her family are able to eat. My fear for that is that people going to turn away from Christ if they are not strong enough in the word themselves, because you are showing that, once again, you hear them say, the preacher always want money, the preacher always want this, the preacher always want this, 15 baskets go by, and what are we showing them? We're not showing them that here we are down here getting dirty with you, helping you, and showing you the way. Now, if I don't have somebody, you know, I was thinking of when I was there, and I'm looking at you, it makes me say that, where's your belief? You're telling me to trust God and all of this, and I don't see anything moving in my life, but you keep coming in here, you and your wife, and guaranteed that baby had a bling on too, okay, because they bling their children out. I don't care if they just born, they get a bracelet or a cross on their neck or something, so they get blinged as well. Where do we get past that? So we got to be able to trust in the Lord and to be able just to be able to say, God, this ain't for me. And he was exposed so people be able to come from up among him and be able to go to where that the real word is being able to show how people are really humble about themselves, because he is very about himself, him and his wife. So how do we get from there? That was the question that kept coming from me. How do we get the people of God that don't know Christ, that's going to be able to come in? That's my fear for them, because we know that God is going to turn it around because he's uncovering. So now we thank the Lord that he has been uncovered. I believe that he had a part of it. I believe that he know who did it, because you just got on the floor and now you just trying to get acting like you got through it. And you had something to do with that. All of that's going to come out. Where do we go from here? Go to Christ. Anyone that is on here, go to the Lord and pray to God and ask him to guide and lead you. Ask him to show you the way. Ask him where you should be able to be. And take away all the jury, because at the end of the day, it ain't about the bling. It's all about Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Pastor Charlotte, for that word today, and we pray that you have a blessed day.
You do the same.
Thank you. Thank you. Let us get that benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's taken from Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. You know, there's been so many things that have been brought out here today. And again, I say, how blessed we are to be able to, you know, be with and share space with people of God who we can speak about this topic, and we ourselves are not living this, because we realize that this world is up against a great big monster called the enemy, called the prince of this world. He is referred to. And when we already see that they are up against this great big monster, this destroyer, you know, why would we help to handicap further our communities, the people of God? Why would we assist? And I don't think a lot of times we're thinking about this thing here like this. We're not thinking as leaders. We think because we're in the pulpit and we're giving, quote unquote, the word, that we are on God's side. But in actuality, here's a situation where, in my personal opinion, he's not on the side of God. Because as the ladies have spoken today, you really serve as a major distraction. So when you're a distraction, the Bible has clearly told us that God has said, if you're not for me, you are automatically against me. And when you handicap the community and God's people, and that's the biggest complaint. One of the biggest complaints, I'm sure Elder Natisha has heard it, Pastor Kim, Pastor Charlene. The first thing people say is, you know, I don't go to church because I don't know what they're doing with my money. I'm not going to give the church my money. That's one of the biggest things that people will bring to the table. Now, whether it's valid or invalid is, you know, at the end of the day, if they're just using it as an excuse, it is a different issue. But the fact of the matter is, with stuff like this, and what we talked about, you know, a week or so ago from Kingdom Business, we have a responsibility. When we do not handle God's money properly, that sends the worst signal ever, because we are always supposed to be in the teaching mode. When we come to the pulpit and we are modestly attired, it does not say that we are poor. It does not say that we don't have. Our homes are well taken care of. All of us live in homes that look good, feel good, are very inviting. It's not this huge mansion like you've seen. We don't have to come to the pulpit blinged out to indicate that we're doing well. That serves, again, as a major distraction. It now puts question into, where is my money going? Hold on. I'm taking the bus, but you're driving up in a Lamborghini? My thing is, it would take 1/18 of the cost of that Lamborghini for you to get a church van to go around and pick up your congregants. Why are we standing at a bus stop that's unshoveled when you are pulling up in a Lamborghini and a Mercedes? What happened to letting the congregants see where their money is going? That, to me, sends the biggest message. Because that says to me that, you know what, this person cares not only about how God is represented, but he cares about how I feel. He cares about sending the proper message to me. How in the world are you going to come to the pulpit, you and your wife and your child that's all blinged out? Because check this out. It had to be, Pastor Sharman, it has to be right, because the gun was also pointed to the 8-month-old. So clearly the baby had some bling as well, because it didn't point to anybody else. So whether this whole occurrence was, you know, it's a dupe, and, you know, he has something to do with it and he knows about it. There's been a lot of thought into that as well. What are we saying as leaders? It's the biggest question. What are we saying as leaders? Like the ladies have said today, are we in the pulpit bringing the word? And we have gotten them so engaged with the word of God that they know why they are coming back. They know why they're sitting in front of a Pastor Kim, an Elder Natisha, a Pastor Charlene, a Pastor Steph, because they know when they get in that poke on that a pew, that they are going to get a word that they couldn't get anywhere else, that is going to be a word for such a time as this. It's going to lift me. It's going to encourage me. It is going to give me sound counsel. This is something that I know God is speaking through this individual, that I'm drawn to Christ. I'm not coming to see what you're wearing this week. I'm not coming to see, well, what kind of bling you got on this week. I'm not coming to see your loud church clothes. You know, even his attire, you know, forget about the bling. Even his attire, he's been known to dress gaudy. And when we move away from thinking about the message that we are preparing, and that was my question in asking, that was the purpose of my question in asking, when we're getting prepared for service and we know we're giving a word, what's on our mind? You know, are we dressing, and as we're putting on our clothes, we're just absorbing
what God is delivering? Because how many times that we've talked about this before, we've sat down and we may have written out a sermon the night before, but when we get up the next morning, just this whole new thing is being delivered. A new word is being delivered because there's something that we need to address. There's something that's in, that's going on in that room that somebody needs to hear. And it's never for no one person either. Is that what we're doing when we're getting dressed? We're listening for God. We're listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. That's what we need to be doing. That's where our heads and our hearts and our spirits need to be. We don't need to be worrying about which bling goes better with this suit. Which cross do I wear now? Which brooch do I wear? What do I put in my hair? What you know, am I going to wear these star-studded shoes today? And we all like to dress. If you look at anyone, well, I'm the only one without any pictures, but if you, and Pastor Charlotte. But when you look at Pastor Kim and Elder Natisha, you know, they have pictures and stuff out there. So you know they like to dress. We've always admired Pastor Kim for her eyelashes. That hair is tight. I mean, I'm on with her every Sabbath morning. And she's got her Saturday morning prayer. And she's always looking tight. Always. Always looking tight. Elder Natisha, you look at her picture, she's always looking good. So it has nothing to do with, if we don't go to the extreme, we're not going to draw God's people. Because what God needs is for us to give people his word. Because that's what's going to change and save their life. And when we take our $5 and we put it into a congregant's hand because they don't have milk. And we didn't even realize they don't have milk, but God just told us to do that. And when we do that, they would now shed a tear or say, you know, well, you just don't even understand what you did. Do you know what kind of message that sends? That sends that you're in tune to the Spirit of the Lord. But when you done rode in on your white chariot, your Lamborghini, you done stood up at this pulpit and you done gave a message, and then you gonna walk back out. And everybody else is on a bus and a train, walking. You don't know if they got food in their house or anything else. That sends a message as well. And as Pastor Kim said, oh, you would have me up in your congregation. Because now, that's not the person that God is. It has for my life. So those are the things that we need to think about. And you don't even have to be a minister, a bishop, an elder, a pastor. You don't have to be anybody in leadership. But that responsibility is on you too. How are people who are not serving God, how are they seeing you spend God's money? Are you so busy being flashy or gaudy, or are you always spending, buying pocketbooks and all of this kind of stuff? And now, you don't even person how to be a good steward over the money that God gives you. You don't show how God is dealing with you, that you don't look like everybody else. We have a message to send as God's people, period. Come on, let's send it. Because we can send a whole lot of messages, but is it the right message? You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, my ladies, my women of worship, all of my women of worship, and I give God thanks for them. I thank you for hanging out with us today and joining in the conversation. Please do not miss this opportunity to give God your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen and tighten that relationship with the Lord, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where it's Therapeutic Thursday, if God spares our life, I love you.